period.
This afternoon, coming from the book of Isaiah, first and second verse of chapter 26 of the book of Isaiah, we're going to talk about righteousness, righteous character, righteous judgment. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. He's talking about the church of God, the people of God. God works salvation in the latter time and in the latter days. It is God, through Jesus Christ, that brings in and gives us salvation. He imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ unto us. To impute is to reckon or put in place of an account of. It's not something you earn or did or whatever. It's just something that he does. He's opening up salvation to all of these nations. Not just Judah, but he's talking about the Jew and the Gentile. All the people of the world. There's no difference in Jew or Gentile. This was just a foreshadowing of what God was going to do. This is a spiritual walls. These are spiritual because the Bible was written to a spiritual people, and these are people that are born again, are born of the Spirit of God. That's the church, not the people within the building specifically, but those that are born again, those who he had chosen. Notice he said that the righteous nations, the righteous nation, in other words, there's only one right nation, and that's of Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. But through the promise to Abraham, it's combined of all nations of people. He was the father of many nations. And it's to those that are righteous, because any others couldn't enter in. Any others can enter into that. And through the prophecies and through all we see, that it was predicted about this righteousness of God. The Old Testament foreshadows all of these things. As we will look at Isaiah, the 56th chapter, in the first verse, it says, "Be just and fair to all." The Lord God says, "Do what's right and good, for I am coming to rescue you soon," says the Living Version. Out of the Amplified Version, it says, "This is what the Lord says. Maintain justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is soon to come, and my righteousness and justice is soon to be revealed." We're seeing that now through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is giving his people those revelations, and only the people of God can see this. Can't you see justice coming forth in the world? I'm saying justice is coming forth in the world as God's righteous judgment is being poured out on the wicked. And you can see that if you're a child of God, because of how it's falling upon this nation. You can see the fall of this nation. You may not follow global or worldwide news and politics and church goings and everything, but you ought to conceive what's going on in your nation, that this is not a righteous physical nation as we look at the United States of America. It's not a righteous nation within itself. So God's only talking about a select few within this physical or geographical nation. But he's talking to those that are birthed, that are born again, that has come out of Babylon. Babylon is the world. It's Egypt, it's the sin of the world, who has come out of the world. They are the ones he's telling to maintain justice, that salvation is coming, do what is right. He's put it in their hearts because he's did what? He's imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ to them. They've been justified in the Lord. And that's what they do. That's the manifestations of the sons of God. And you can see that manifestation. And that's what I say. You can see false church people. You can see people that are doing things, or people just to be talking or whatever. And a lot of Christian, so-called professing Christians or whatever, will waste your time with religious talk or talking about Jesus. And it's just a waste of time because they're only professors or whatever. And sometimes it's better that you show me your faith by your works. And your actions speak louder than your words do a lot of times. In the book of Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, the 14th verse, it says, "Your reputation was great among the nations for your beauty. It was perfect because all the gifts I gave you, says the Lord God. But you thought you could get along without me. You trusted in your beauty instead. And you gave yourself as a prostitute to every man who came along. Your beauty was his for the asking." He's rebuking his people now. He's rebuking them because, as being the guy outside the library that grew up, he called me cuz, you know, Cousin Baxter or whatever. He calls me cuz. And my mother and his mother grew up together. They used to run together. They used to be close friends. I think she's 90 years old, he says, and she's busy cooking and doing things and wanting children to come by on Sundays or whatever to eat or whatever and do things, and she's lively or whatever. But God has blessed a lot of us, and he's given us homes, cars, and everything. But a lot of us, just like the United States, a lot of the people think because they have power, they have money or wealth or homes or automobiles or people have good looks or different things, they think that they had they use that as though they got that themselves. They forgot who had given them power to get well. 90% of them are really not returning back to God. A lot of them are not going to church as much as they should. They're forsaking the assembly of themselves together trying to pay for that stuff. A lot of them are not keeping up financially the way they should in the churches. A lot of them are maybe shorting people or services of God that God commands or that God tells through his law, because they're still under the law. The reason they act the way they do, they hadn't come under the righteousness of God, which is apart from the law. This is apart from the law because we're no longer under the law. We are under grace and truth. And if you are under grace and truth and had been given the bondage and liberty of Jesus Christ, the law is written on your heart, so you have no problem maintaining and keeping that, because the Spirit gives you the power and the strength to maintain and keep it, because being the sons of God, you're led by the Spirit of God. You're being led by the Spirit of God to bring forth these good works. So your character is righteous character. You don't have to tell people. People can see that. It exudes from you. They'll tell you that you have the glory of God. You give God the glory or whatever. And as I was telling that guy, I was saying, "Well, you, I appreciate you stopping and hollering at me and talking to me or whatever, and the fine comments or whatever." I say, "And I give God all the glory and whatever." And he said, "I'm going to always do that or whatever because of the niceness of your father, the way he did us or whatever." Now, remember in the Bible when it talks about David, a lot of people did things for Solomon or whatever because of what David did, the niceness of David or whatever. So if we have a righteous character, a righteous ability, we pass that on to our sons and daughters or whatever. That's why the book of Malachi says, "I'm going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the hearts of the sons to the father." Works same thing, because there's no gender in God. So the hearts of the daughters to the mothers and the hearts of the mothers to the daughters and so forth. Because other than that, when Jesus Christ comes, your enemies are those in your own household. It's going to be your relatives, your sons and daughters. It's going to be your brothers and sisters and people that you know. Because the gospel, as predicted also, this righteousness is revealed in the gospel, and the people hate the gospel of the telling of the good news. That's the reason they crucified Christ, because the gospel has that liberating effect. it calls you out of the world, and you start hungering and thirsting for God more than you do the world and the things of the world, that righteousness will start coming forth, and you will start doing righteous because that's who you are, and that's what strengthens you, and that is walking by faith, doing that which is righteous. The book of Romans, the first chapter, Romans 17, verse says, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, both springing forth from faith and leading to faith. It's disclosed in a way that awakens more faith. That's why I say you get stronger by doing the word of God, by doing the works of Jesus Christ, by walking in that, you and people see it more and more. It's the Son of Righteousness rising in you. It says, as it is written, forever remains written, the just and the upright shall live by faith. It's going to be an ever-increasing faith. Not just you saying it, it's going to actually increase. People will see it. You're going to be strengthened by it. It's going to weaken the lame knees. It's going to weaken that spirit. It's going to give you a boldness. It's going to give you, it's going to add a glow to your character. And the Living Version reads, this good news tells us that God makes us ready for heaven, makes us right in God's sight, and when we put our faith and trust in Christ to save us. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. And the scripture says it's the man who finds life will find it through trusting God. That's the only way you can find it, through trusting God. And it is accomplished by Jesus Christ, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. So what he starts, he finishes. That's why Paul says he's not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth. The reason he said to the Jew first is because the Jews had the oracles, they had the scriptures. But a lot of them rejected or didn't trust or understand and know the scriptures, and God brought others in. Just like the United States, God had blessed this nation and shined grace and blessing upon them, but they rejected most of them through religion and through religious bigotry and everything else, have rejected the knowledge of God and think the power is within, inherent within themselves. Whether it be by race, wealth, creed, or any other way, it's not by Jesus Christ that they're looking unto. They're looking at another Jesus Christ who put up. So it's not the righteousness of God, because it's a nation that's not maintaining justice. Justice is dead in the street within this nation. There's no more justice in this nation. None. So, you know, when I say none, what I'm saying, the nation as a whole has to pay a price that it's not able to pay. Babylon is fallen. So that statement means that it will never rise again. Those evangelists and preachers and things that are telling you that Babylon won't arise out of the rubble, the kingdom of God is being established, and what makes you stronger, you and I strong, is that we're seeing it worldwide, that the sons of God are manifesting themselves, and God is working in the world more and more. We see his judgments in the world. We see his judgments in the pandemic. We see his judgments in every action of man, those within our churches, those in our communities and things. It tells me something about my very family. It tells me something about the very people I commune with every day. And if it's not telling you, that means you're allowing the world to get you off the path. It knocks you off the path of righteousness, out of the way of God. You've gotten out of the way. That's why it says check yourself to see whether you still be in the faith. This righteousness is of the Lord. It is of the Lord. Verse Isaiah, the 54th chapter and the 17th verse, it says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise up against you, against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. It's of the Lord. So that's why people, and you see a lot of women that's arising up. reason the women are rising up or whatever, because they see the men, that these aren't sons of God that they're rising against. These people that are trying to bring them under submission or bondage or whatever are using religion as a cover, preaching the gospel, and have churches trying to use the scriptures as a club of a cudgeon to bludgeon you with or whatever. You don't pay that attention, because any of them can speak the word of God, but it's different from wielding the authority and the power of the word of God. You don't fear these people that are just preaching or just have the word and saying this. Like I say, religious conversations don't carry you very far if you're not an authorized representative of it. I can tell when you're not being truthful or when you who you are. That's why I say you need to live for God so he can start showing you, and they won't waste so much of your time, the sheep, the wolves that are in sheep's clothing. That's how they will come to you with great swelling words and religious words. But the righteousness of God that should be exuding and strengthening you keeps people from wasting your time. And sometimes you seem short to them or whatever. But sometimes that's what it is. Sometimes it's rude, it's hard and offensive, because you don't want to take the sharp edge off the gospel. And that's what the preachers have done, took the sharp edge off the gospel. And people no longer fear the church. They don't fear the preachers of God. They don't fear the word of God. They'll lie to you and sit right at the communion table and come in the church and lie and deceive and go back out in the world and do that. Instead of they used to be would do it in the world, but would be scared to come in the church. But the devil has gotten so bold that he comes in and he'll sit in the pulpit and preach and teach to you, and people sit down and amen him and do all this other stuff. Yeah. So we see by this last election, with this last president we had, evangelical Christianity in America is dead. These are the ones that Christ says, that's not the righteousness of God. We see the problem here. In the Living Version it says, but in that day coming, no weapon turned against you shall succeed. You will have justice against every courtroom lie. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. It reminds me of when Bill Cassidy stood up against the people and he voted his conscience, he says, his conviction. Why? Because Louisiana is one of the most corrupt, politically divisive states we have. Within that party, he was the only one that stood the truth. People like Steve Scalise and John Kennedy and a lot of our representatives from Lafayette and other places are liars and deceivers. The righteousness of God, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Well, Bill Cassidy said, I can't lie about this. I have to say it. It's going to cause us to have to take to stands in within whatever political party or wherever we got or whoever it's against. Just like what the Democrats was pushing about this minimum wage increase. That was very detrimental. It's two sides to that story or whatever. But you can't raise that to $15 an hour minimum or whatever. I come up to a lot of hamburger places, fast food joints or whatever. They're not busy all the time or whatever. Those people can't afford to pay you $15 an hour to put together a burger. They don't have that big a business. That is reserved for maybe young people that don't have house note and car note and all these other things. But we done got so twisted in America, so profoundly materialistic. We have people that's messing up the labor force, trying to balance these things out, and whereas the men and women that has to work two jobs to keep afloat or whatever, they're finding out to stay or maintain justice and righteousness that it's only God can make the way smooth for them. It's only God can give them contentment in life. I took my brother to someone this morning, an eye doctor or whatever, and we were talking or whatever, and he said about having a good heart and different things. And I was telling him, I say, you're in the right place. I see the righteousness of God in him and what he was doing. And he was talking about what happened with his wife, and that he was in a job, and she said that they wasn't paying him right. He needed more money or whatever. And he went to another job, and he was getting more, but he wasn't as happy or whatever. And I say, that's, and he, then he said him and his wife had got divorced, she had left him with this and that. Because that wasn't a union of God. See, a lot of people get in the church or whatever, and sometimes the world is more truer than the church is. Because you may love this woman, that's a physical love or whatever, but she may not be of God. She may be a Jezebel or whatever. It was better that she go her way and he's back doing the work that God had given him to do. And he says, it's not about the money. When it's about the money, then God may not be in that. Prosperity gospel has messed many a church up. They have left the righteousness of God looking for their own righteousness because the preachers are preaching and teaching that godliness is gain. What you drive, where you live, the stuff you have or whatever, that's a show of godliness. They don't teach that godliness is to be content with what you have and to live and find God's purpose for you in your life. This guy was 67 years old or whatever telling me that. I said, the only difference it is I didn't got a little bit older or whatever. And he was saying, you know, I'm understanding. He started understanding. I said, because you, for that, what you're working for, you have to keep working. He's doing flooring work and car, but he's going to be 75 before he finished paying for his vehicle. But some mornings I don't feel like it. Or whatever, but it's not that, I told him. I say it's the fact that God wants you to have stuff, and don't get me wrong, and that's what I tell people. Don't envy wealthy people. Don't envy people with stuff, because God has people that has plenty, that has plenty of money, that has plenty of nice homes and all these things as Abraham was, but Abraham believed and trusted God. He didn't get off the path. And he said, you know, they end up working for that stuff or whatever. Because God now is in second place. So, they have pursued the wrong thing. It's not the righteousness of God by faith. It's what the world says is righteousness. And it's their own righteousness, which is like filthy rags. It's not the righteousness of God. It's not the pursuit of God. The righteousness as faith. Describe. Yes, ma'am? Now, the righteousness is described as the righteousness of faith. That's what I said. That's Old Testament righteousness, but now we're looking at the righteousness of faith. Romans, the 4th chapter, and the 13th verse says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. This promise wasn't fulfilled through the law, because the law brings you under bondage, but Abraham believed God. He trusted in and he believed God. If we read in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and the 51st verse, it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So that where sin had power over us, sin no longer has power over us because Christ took away the sting of death. He took away the sting of death, and that was sin through what sin had through death, and the strength of sin is the law. But we're not under the law. We're under what? Grace and truth. If you're a child of God, if you are born again, if you are part of the righteous nation. Now, it doesn't mean that those that profess, now I'm not talking to professors or people that's just in the church that who hadn't been born again. If they hadn't been born again, they're still under the law. They don't have eternal life. You must be born again. So, it's a lot of people could say these things, but don't have. That's why, you remember last week when I was telling Peter, how would you like to have those things that you say. But some people say so much you can tell you don't have that. You don't possess it. You can talk of it, but possessing it is a different thing, because possession is something that you have, or that's become part of you. That's something you can hold on to. And once he gives us of the Spirit, he possesses us. We are bond servants of his. I think I've lost that sermon. I couldn't post it on here online. Something bleeped in the thing and deleted or something, where I was talking about Paul was apprehended by Christ, and he's trying to apprehend Christ, who had apprehended him. Once Christ really get a hold of you, you go seek and strive to follow Christ. If you have to leave children, wife, and everybody else behind, Christ is going to be the utmost for you in life. The book of Romans, the 9th chapter and the 30th verse says, and Isaiah says in another place, except for God's mercy, all the Jews would be destroyed, all of them, just as everyone in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah perished. Well then, what shall we say about these things? Just this, that God had given the Gentiles the opportunity to be acquitted by faith, even though they had not really been seeking God. These people who not look for God, the nations who had not followed after God, God had given them an opportunity, the same as he did the Jewish people. He says, and the Amplified, what shall we say then, that Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness, who did not seek salvation and a right relationship with God, nevertheless obtain righteousness, that is the righteousness which is produced by faith. See, that's what I'm saying. As you maintain good works and justice, God produces a righteousness in you which this nation at one time you can see. Growing up, I saw it, and it's still here to a certain extent, but it's being suppressed in unrighteousness. You barely can see it unless you're a child of God. And if you're not a child of God, you're so prideful and pretentious and falling down and so high-minded that you won't say you don't see it, that you don't get it, because you don't want somebody to think that you're ignorant or that you're silly or that you don't understand. And you're not broken yet. And God will continue to break you down until that comes about in your life. It says, who did not seek salvation and a right relationship with God. Remember in the New Testament where it says, the children of the kingdom shall be cast out, and the others, publicans and Pharisees and harlots, will come in. I've seen people that are thirsting and hungering for truth and righteousness that are being the church in Christ, and do like he did the money changers. He'll chase the others out of the church. That's the chaff. That's the one that's the tares that has been growing all this time. He says, leave the chaff in the wheat. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, for they shall soon be cut off. And that's what God's doing. And if we can't see this, we need to get to a place of prayer and ask God to come into our lives and to change us. Whereas though Israel, always pursuing a law of righteousness, did not succeed in fulfilling the law because of the weakness of their flesh, because of their high-mindedness, their pride. I wanted to read this in the Living, but let me go on to Romans 10 and 6. It says in the Amplified Version, but the righteousness based on faith, which produces a right relationship with him, says the following. Do not say in your heart, the Living says, you don't need to search the heavens to find Christ and bring him down to help you. It says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend to the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. You remember he says, won't you say, go back and say this to my brothers and sisters. He said, well, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they're not going to be one that rose from the dead. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. that he is the word, the message, the basis of faith which we preach, because if you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he is recognizing his power, authority, and his majesty, and believe that in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. You're not believing the gospel. You're hearing what's been said, but your actions and things, you're still fearful of man. You're fearful of your husband. You're fearful of your wife, your children. You're fearful of your parents. You're fearful of everybody. Or you will remain steadfast with God's actually telling you. You'll sit here and hear the preacher preach it. But he said, Ezekiel, they will hear what you're saying, but they're not going to do it. Are you doing it out there? Are you getting stronger out there? Because God is sending people to you every day, testing you in those areas. The seed is that seed that has been sown, producing anything in your life. See, God has told us a lot, but we're so fearful. We like those people with Gideon. That some of us has to go home because that fear is going to affect other people. You don't realize that he says, no man or nothing will, no power will, shall be able to stand against you, that no weapon formed against you. That means people talking about you, all things done against you, it's not going to prosper anything. Long as you worry about what people say, God says you bless when men say all manner of evil against you and do all manner of things. This young man, this was an elderly man that I'm talking about. He was probably in his 40s or 50s, but he seemed much happier without his wife. He was doing for his sons and things or whatever. But she was a dragon to him. She was the weight and the sin that's besetting him. But then some preacher preaching to you that you have to stay married or whatever, that you have to stay married and that you have to be able to do this and do that. Now you living to please man. You're not pleasing God. You're trying to worry about how you look in the community, how you look in the neighborhood, how you... Yes, ma'am? Okay, I know I was going to leave the regret to ask you to put your hand up when you get out. Well, look, but I know I said that, but we still have about 33 minutes to do this. It's going to take a long time. But Sister Harris has to come to church on Wednesday. You might talk with your mother or whatever that if this is not convenient with you for you coming with her or whatever, that you're not able to, between the hours of 5:30 and 7 or whatever, you may have to stay with somebody else to that time because Sister Harris needs this. She wants this. She wants to keep you, but you're going to have to be a good little girl and be able to sit still at your age for about an hour or so, okay? Now, I'm going to start this back again. And if you really need something of those times, each time you raise your hand, you hadn't really needed anything. But I'm trying to honor what I said, but I hate to keep ignoring you, okay? Because now I didn't forget where I was. I'm sorry I had to stop everybody for that or whatever. But sometime people will do these things to you. Hopefully I could get back to where I was before that intervention. In the Living Bible, we have to see that confirming our faith and growing and having an increasing faith or righteousness is just like what I'm seeing now. That's part of the path. Me being a pastor, elder, I have to keep getting back to the path, and I'm going to become sharper and sharper with her because that's kind of an intervention. I'm not saying from Satan, but it's a weight or a sin, but her presence has started to interrupt us because maybe her parents or someone is not teaching her stillness or whatever. And like I tell you, even with children, it's a time that you would have to paddle them, just ignore them or whatever. Because you hear that in a lot of churches and things, and growing up, they didn't have nurseries and all these where you take the kids off somewhere or whatever. When I was growing up, to learn righteousness and everything, I tell you about my mother all the time. I learned righteousness by her sitting over there looking at me. Either I was going to learn to sit there hour and a half and behave or whatever. She sometimes, when we were real small, bring a peppermint or some gum or something. We'd sit there and chew it or be still. But we didn't have iPads and all these things to keep us entertained. But the people are not raising their children anymore. They're not wanting to pay babysitters and everything else. But you shouldn't have the church burdened with nurses and all these things. Your child should be disciplined enough to bring them in there and sit down and be quiet and be still and let them learn with you, because that's a part of their learning process. Even the adults have been disenfranchised from that. That's why God's righteousness that he's instilling from us comes from discipline. But the righteousness of God is without the law. When Christ comes into your life, the Spirit brings about your obedience. And that's what the difference from Adam and Jesus Christ was. Christ was obedient. And that's why I say the way is not going to always be smooth, because the Spirit's going to chasten us or scorn us, or scourge us, and we're going to learn that when we're doing wrong or being disobedient, God brings a certain chastisement, a certain punishments in our lives. So, in the book of Romans 3:20 through 3:21, the righteousness apart from the law. For no person will be justified, that is, freed of guilt and declared righteous in his sight by trying to do the works of the law. For through the law we become conscious of sin, and the recognition of sin directs us toward repentance, but provides no remedy for sin. So all the law that did was condemn you. You just saw what was wrong with you. It might give you, bring it out a little bit better in the living. It says, now do you see it? No one can ever be made right in God's sight by doing what the law commands. And because wherever you violate it in one point, you're guilty of breaking the whole law. For the more we know of God's law, the clearer it becomes that we aren't obeying them. Right? Have you been in church long enough to know, hey man, we can't do this? That's what James and them told Peter. Why put the Gentiles up under the law that we couldn't keep? But if Christ comes into their life, if the Spirit comes into their lives, it helps us, it leads us, it gives us the power and authority to die to self, to fulfill and keep God. We want to please God, not man, not self, not anyone else. That's where the power and authority come, is submitting yourself unto God, offering yourself up as a living sacrifice. And the Spirit revealed, that's why it says, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's who has to be working in your life. He's going to show you a better and a more perfect way. His laws serve only to make us see that we are sinners. You do more I go to church, you know, the more I see, the worse that I am. Do you see yourself worse now? Do you see how much sin really was in your life? But that's not what religion in this nation teach. The religion is this, in this life teach, live your best life now in prosperity and you better than the next person. Like right now, this governor in Texas and Mississippi or whatever, you can see the problem here, that the nation won't ever be right, because you have these spirits within the church that has allowed the ministers of Satan to come in, the ministers of the darkness to come in and lead the people, whereas God's people are falling victim to these, well, not God's people, but the masses that are in the church, and is causing the love of many to wax cold, because these war professors, they never really had it, but since such a many people are going the broad way, the younger people and everything is going against the church, because they're seeing how many people, you know, the young people really believe in a heaven and hell and really believe in Satan and the devil, God and all this. They don't really believe, because they see that their parents don't actually believe that. Not in this nation. They don't really believe in God, you know. They believe in gods, because they serve many of gods in this nation. But the fear of God is not in them. You can tell these things because you're a son of God. So when you see this going up, this is righteousness apart from the laws in which the Jews have it, because they believe just because they say it. You know, it's the name it and claim it gospel. Have it and you say it and it's yours and claim it and all that. That's not possible. Unless you're a child of God and speaking by the will and the majesty of God's will or what. That's why I asked Peter, how would you like to have what you say? See, because Peter was used to jumping up thinking was in his mind. Lord, I'll fight for you to the death. I'll do all this. You'll do a lot. But we know that that's not in you. You're just talking. Salvation cannot be obtained by simply repenting and deciding to obey God's laws. You can't just make up your mind, well, I'm going to repent and start obeying God's laws. Merely keeping the law will not justify anyone. You have to be justified. In other words, put in proper or right standing by Jesus Christ and by Him alone. He births you into the church. Being justified means having one's sins forgiven and coming into a right relationship with God. That's when your mind, the guilt flows away, you finally see that you're not condemned, that you are a son of God. Now, no matter who they are can convince you that you're not a child of God. There's no condemnation to you now. Don't care what nobody in your family, on your job, anywhere say, look, okay, you say what you want, I can judge on that, whether it's right or not, but you can't tell me who I'm not. You can't tell me what God hadn't said, what Jesus is working in my life. No, all that foolishness you talking or whatever. Okay, well, we could even go to the same churches or whatever. But we will keep a little distance there because I know you ain't right. I'm going to have to remain steadfast in what I believe. You could have 100 people in a church and only 10 of them be saved. Covenant in law. It says, but now the righteousness of God has been clearly revealed, independently and completely apart from the law, though it is actually confirmed by the law and the words of the prophet. Though it's confirmed by this James, Lord, you're talking about putting the Ten Commandments in front of the courthouse and all that. How is that going to work if the judge ain't right? How is that going to work if it's a prejudiced state? How is that going to work if the people ain't right? You could have 20 books and tablets of the Ten Commandments, chiseled out in stone, but if it's not in your heart, it ain't going to work right. But now God has showed us a different way to heaven. Not being good enough and trying us, not being good enough and trying to keep His laws, but by a new way, though not new really, for the scriptures had told about this long ago. It's in the Old Testament. It's buried in there. It's precept upon precept that the Gentiles, God was going to turn. Just like He had to turn from Saul as king because the king was to come to Judah. A lawgiver, it shouldn't depart from Judah. Judah, not Benjamin. So He had to turn from Saul. Even though that was His first king, the kingship had to turn from Benjamin. Now God says He will accept and acquit us and declare us not guilty if we trust Jesus Christ to take away our sin. Hold on now. You saying this is the only way? You mean to tell me all these people that believed in this other thing? What it says, if we believe in Jesus Christ. Now this is Jesus Christ that comes saying, I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the path. That's the only way. Jesus Christ. Unless you in Christ. That's your vehicle out of here. You have to be in Jesus Christ. The ark was the only vehicle out of the flood. Unless you was in the ark, you wasn't going to be saved. No matter how your works built, whatever tanker or submarine you had, it wasn't going to work. It had to be in the ark. If we trust Jesus Christ to take away our sin, and all we can we be saved in this same way, by coming to Christ, no matter who we are or what we have been like. Where does righteousness apart from the law appear in the Bible? Well, in the law. Back in the Old Testament, it is not the new with the new covenant. It's nothing new. God had showed us to us then. So we must guard that truth, as he told first in 1 Timothy 6:11-12. But thou, as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Now he's talking about the things that he said in the first portion of the chapter that I'm not going over with. He says, aim at and pursue righteousness. That reverts back to what I told you about maintain justice, maintain truth. See, because once Christ comes in your life, you find out to do these things, you will fight to do these things. It, even though sometimes it may seem like physically or outwardly it's a losing battle, you will persist in these things. You will keep doing them, even though sometimes it looks like it's not accomplishing anything. But you just keep hammering on the rock. He says, pursue righteousness, that is true goodness and moral conformity to the character of God. Godliness, the fear of God, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. We're in a conflict with evil. There's evil everywhere. Evil, the schemes and devices of the devil. We must remain vigilant here. It says, take hold of eternal life to which you were called. Because you know as a child of God, you have eternal life. So death has no power over you, no authority, no sting, no victory. Anything is in death in the grave. God, Jesus Christ had overcame that. God in Christ has overcame all these things. He have all power and authority. And for which you were made the good confession of faith in the presence of many witnesses. So we have to press on for righteousness, and that is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we're saved by what? By faith alone. Nothing else. And a lot of people teach about added things or teach about baptism and all these other things, but it's by faith alone. But he's building and engendering righteousness in his people, and we're growing in that righteousness. The righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Let me finish in that book of Romans, the 3rd chapter, 22nd verse says, now God says he will accept and acquit us, that is, declare us not guilty. The righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ for all those, Jew or Gentile, who believe and trust in Jesus Christ. There's no distinction in them. That's the righteousness of God by faith. So how do we obtain righteousness? By faith in Christ, that Christ is going to do everything that's necessary and that's needed. The righteousness of God comes by faith. It's imputed. It is placed upon us. It is placed in us. It's given to us. It's imputed. It's not something that we earn. It's the gift of God. He gives these things to us. Christ was had been being made to us. Righteousness to us. Christ was made righteousness to us. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, God has selected for us, for it is God from God alone that have your life through Jesus Christ, that have given you life. Let me read it in Amplified. I'm trying to read two different versions at once. God has selected for his purpose the insignificant, in other words, the base of the lowly things of the world, and the things that are despised and treated with contempt. That's us that are oppressed, those that people treat different or varying ways or whatever. Those God had chosen. Even the things that are nothing, so that he might reduce to nothing the things that are, so that no one may be able to boast in the presence of God that they had did this, or it was something of themselves, or it was their beauty or their wealth or something else. God had chose the lesser beings, the lesser things in life. But it is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. In other words, revealing his plan of salvation. Jesus said, I'm glad that you chose to reveal this to the weaker elements, to these children, to these other people, that it wasn't the wise and the wealthy that you came to. So God gives us wisdom. The wisdom comes through Jesus Christ and righteousness. In other words, making us acceptable unto him. He had reconciled us to God in Christ. The only way to do this is in Christ. There's no other way to teach. Other way being taught to be reconciled or brought in right standing with God. And sanctification, that is, making us holy and set apart. We have to come out of the world. He says, come out of the world, be sanctified, that is, set apart, and you'll be my sons and daughters, and I'll be a God unto you. But are you just like the world or the people of the world, and there's no distinction from you? Is there that friction between you and the world and the people? Is there friction in your household? If there's no friction in your household, that means everyone there is born again and that are children of God. Now, there will be some as we grow. But if it is, I mean, if it's not, I mean, went too far. I'm going to have to come back and teach this. But anyhow, how is it, though, if they're not a believer, if they don't have the right character traits, or they're not following the same God, that there is a getting along, a tolerance of this? I don't think Jesus and the Pharisees was compadres. You know, they didn't get along or whatever. The friction was there. That's why sometimes, you know, you love your brothers and sisters or whatever, but we couldn't live together. You love your friends and everything or whatever, but you need to stay shy of me sometime or whatever. Like this man and his wife, that were irreconcilable differences because she may not have been a child of God, but from what I'm seeing, that God had imputed righteousness unto this man. It says, in setting us apart and redemption, in other words, providing our ransom from the penalty of sin, he made us pure and holy. Our being made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 20th verse, first verse says, for he made Christ who knew no sin to be who knew no sin to be judicially be sin on our behalf, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God, that is, we would be acceptable to him and placed in a right relationship with him. This was a judicial judgment. In other words, he's the righteousness of God. Those that he had chosen, that Jesus Christ had chosen, those that God had given to him, God gives us, in other words, this is a judgment from God. He's saying, these are right. I've given them to him. And by obeying him, continuing his word, the other works of God, by this process, you have been made judicially. So that's why I say you have to live a righteous life. After that, removing a consciousness of guilt, then you start on the road, on the highway, on the path, the way to Christ. But being, you have to be, that judicial justification has to take place. It removes the conscience of guilt from you, and we're giving his righteousness, and we grow in righteousness as we maintain good works. This is ever increasing. This comes about in us. And Christ is the end of the law. In other words, the law is no longer there. We're no longer under law. What? We're under Christ Jesus. We're being led by the Spirit of God. And that law is written on our hearts. So we're not law breakers. But it's not the law. Our focus is where? On Christ Jesus. The 4th verse of the 10th chapter of Romans, it says, for Christ is the end of law for righteousness to everyone that believe it. For Christ, the Amplified says, they don't understand that Christ gives to those who trust in him everything they are trying to get by keeping the law. It's already given to you by Christ. So it's no use in trying to keep the law. Christ has that. He ends all of that. That's why he says, it is finished. It was complete in him. Now you have to continue in his word. But he gives you of the Spirit to lead you and guide you in all truth. Because he's the truth. He's the way and the life. So stay on that path. Because if you get back under the path of the law, or you come back under all these things, you're brought back into bondage of the world, which you had escaped the corruption that is in the world. Now you have no longer another sacrifice because you've given up your sacrifice that was in Christ Jesus. And it will be called the book of Jeremiah says, we'll be called Christ is called the Lord our righteousness. So he's our righteousness, not our righteousness, because our righteousness is filthy rags, and it's going to be imputed to us his righteousness. Jeremiah 23:6 says, behold, listen closely, the days are coming. So I think we're in those days, those latter days, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. And you remember I tell you about the Davidic kingdom that will be in priesthood. That's a human kingdom upon the earth. And I think that's like a millennial reign. Whereas this king as of David, it was Christ, David was a type of Christ that's sitting on the throne. But that's Christ ruling and reigning in our heart, not some man. Okay? So those that are looking for a messianic man, some God to lead them, they're off the list. They're not Christ. This is a worldwide kingdom. This is a worldwide movement. So that's why I say it. It's just not local in the United States. These are all of the righteous nations entering in. These are the righteous peoples of God raising up. He says a righteous branch of David. And he will reign as king and act wisely. And I will do those things that accomplish justice and righteousness in the land. In what land? In the old earth. He's establishing the mountain of the Lord's house. So his judgment is coming up on the whole earth. And we see this manifestations of the sons of God. And so now we stand up against our enemies speaking the word of God, because that word of God will judge them. Now, whom that judgment fall upon, as you a child of God, you learn not to intervene, like he told Aaron, as he told Aaron through Moses, to not act in a way that was in disaccord with the judgment of God, bringing judgment of death upon Abihu, Nadab, and Abihu for offering up strange fire to the Lord. You can only say, like Job, the Lord give it and the Lord take it away. You will have to go in this agreement. So there's going to be things happening to people around us and things going on in the world that we will have to see and be studied up and learn as children of God, that this is part of God's judgment, that the chaff has blown down and is being blown away, these evil doers. And that's why I say our joy and happiness and peace should be increasing. I hope y'all's are. You know, I was thinking about that being so joyful a day or whatever, even though things going roughly, but he gives you a peace and a joy where you can see this is working its way out. It's working out. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. You remember in Isaiah where they say, this is the Lord our God. We can see Jesus Christ coming because only the pure in heart will see God. Only the pure in heart see this manifestation coming. And if he comes suddenly upon the wicked, they shall be destroyed. But we see him coming afar off. We're getting ready for that day. We being prepped. Because if you're in a dark room, if you're in this dark world or whatever, and you walk outside, or someone that turns on a light, doesn't that light blind you and hurt your eyes or whatever? You have to get accustomed to the light, and that's what his word does. It gets us accustomed to his light in walking in his way. In the book of Daniel, we see Christ brings in an everlasting righteousness. This kingdom that he's bringing in, this millennial kingdom, it shall never be replaced. It's an everlasting kingdom. He's establishing the kingdom of God. That's why he came preaching the kingdom of God. The Lord has commanded 490 years of further punishment upon Jerusalem and your people. Then at last they will learn to stay away from sin and their guilt will be cleansed. Then the kingdom of everlasting righteousness will begin. And the most holy place in the temple will be rededicated as the prophets have declared. This is that 490 days, the 7 weeks of judgment. We see this in the process. A lot of us see this tribulation coming about, and we can see the desolation of that which is wicked, but we being established in righteousness. I don't know how many of y'all are feeling this, but those that are high-minded or whatever, they get beside themselves and become self-righteous. Because those that are feeling this strive harder and harder because they know that I have to do some more. It's more I have to do. I have to seek and search for this. But you can't find it because God comes and gives it to you. It's like manna. He brings it down and he gives it to you each day. It's your daily bread. You're growing by that. It's a free gift of God. It's freely given. That's why I say God gives it to those he chooses, as many as he chooses. For Romans 5:17 says, "For just as through one man's disobedience, his failure to hear, his carelessness of disrespecting or rejecting God's word, his disobedience to God's word, the many were made sinners. So through the obedience of one man, that is Jesus Christ, many will be made righteous and acceptable to God, brought into right standing with him. But the law came to increase and expand the awareness of what this trespass was by defining and unmasking sin. But where sin increased, God's remarkable gracious gift of grace has surpassed that and increased all the more." So the more wicked that you see this nation, the more God can show you the people and the wickedness in this nation. Don't you see how gracious and how good God is? Don't you see more and more of God as you see the wickedness of the people and of the nation, this nation is? You can see God. Do you see God? The eyes of faith see God. God's righteousness will never be destroyed. Woe to the wicked. And I'm going to read this. This is the last one. It's a pretty long one. Woes for the wicked. These are the woes for the wicked. Judgment is coming to those who join house to house and join field to field. In other words, increase their wealth and their richness. They think they're doing it in God and they're doing God a favor and working for God. But you can see that this is the ultimate destruction. You can see the destruction, those that are of God, until there is no more room so that you have to live alone in the midst of the land. In my ears, the Lord of hosts says, "Be assured that many houses will become desolate. Even great and beautiful ones will be unoccupied. For 10 acres of vineyard will be yield only one bath of wine, and a homer will end up producing only one effort of grain. Woe, judgment of coming to those who rise early in the morning to pursue intoxicating drink, who stay up late in the night till wine inflames them. They have lyre, harp, tambourine, and flute and wine at their feasts. But they do not regard nor even pay attention to the deeds of the Lord, nor do they consider the work of his hands. Therefore, my people go into exile because they lack knowledge of God, and their honorable men are famished, and their common people are parched for thirst. Therefore, Sheol, which is the realm of the dead, has increased its appetite and opened its mouth beyond measure. And Jerusalem splendored her multitude, her boisterous uproar and her drunken revelers descend into it. So the common man will be bowed down and the man of importance degraded, and the eyes of the proud will be degraded. But the Lord of hosts will be exalted in justice, and God, the Holy One, will show himself holy in righteousness through his righteous judgment. The lambs will graze among the ruins in their own pasture, and strangers will eat in the desolate places of the wealthy. Woe, judgment is coming. Those who drag along wickedness with cords of falsehood and sin as if it were carts, towing their own punishment along. So, we see the actions of the people in this nation, and that's what I say. It's as I'm preaching and teaching that, And as other preachers are preaching and teaching and rereading and studying it and seeing it in the Word of God, when the governor of Texas talked about reopening the state 100% the other day at Tate Reeves in Mississippi, as I see the things on Twitter and Facebook and some of the people that is in this administration, Jesus Christ personally tells each and every one of us and leads us and shows us what he's doing. You can see the failure of the wealthy going along, but it's not on a mass scale. Are you listening? It's not on a mass scale, because then everybody would say, what is this? But only the wise and the prudent see what's happening. Because you have to be deep in prayer. You have to be maintaining righteousness and justice, because if God's righteous judgment is going out, isn't he paying us for every trespass or every transgression of his laws and his works, so that if we ourselves are not making sure we are in the faith, in other words, each day, all the time, that we're making right decisions, that we're walking circumspectively, that we're praying to God for forgiveness of our sins and transgressions, and not that we're looking to pick the mote or the beam out of somebody else's eye, watching their judgment and their fall. We're taking heed to ourselves, because we shall be punished too as children of God if we transgress God. Because we've studied David ultimately more than any other of the saints of God about how God had chastened his lives, whereas the unbelieving world or the church world, a lot of people looks at David and doesn't see the dysfunction of his family or some of the harsh ways God came on him because of his transgressions. That's what keeps us in line. That's what kept Paul in this line, a thorn in the flesh. So even though we joy and rejoice, it ever keeps us pulling those beams out of our own eyes, judging ourselves, taking heed unto ourselves, our sin, asking God to show us what we're doing wrong, that we're pulling off the old man, because only as we pull off the old man and maintain righteousness can God write that law in our hearts. But we have to be emptying ourselves of the old man. We can't hold on to resentment, bitterness, and grudges the same old way. We have to walk in the newness of life. You see what I'm saying? There's not room for the two. You have to clean out. That repentance has to be presented by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit has to be doing it, because this has to be becoming who you are. You have to be that very image and likeness of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Jesus Christ that goes, that self dies to. That's the sacrifice that you present your body as, that living sacrifice for the righteousness. God has to break you. You have to be in full submission, in complete obedience and alliance to him, for that righteousness just to flow out of you. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, strengthen us in your word and your way, Lord God, and doing